Nina Simone will be celebrated by three generations of Grassroots News on KBOO Community Radio.
I put a spell on you.
Let us put a spell on you Saturday, August 29th from 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. with the music and revolutionary life of Miss Nina Simone, right here on 90.7 FM KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Eye Cares and a grant from Southeast Portland Optometrist, providing eye exam, optometrist, contact lenses, eye and medical eye care, contact lens, as well as eyewear from independent designers. As well as eyewear Portland Eye Care is located at 41st Care and Southeast Division Street in Portland and online at eyepdx.com.
Hello, this is Grace Eagle-Reed, and this is Disability Awareness. My guest today is Sarah DeHoff. She has, from Luma Logica, she has a prosperity project. Now, what's that got to do with disability? We're actually going to be talking about poverty, the disability of poverty. In other words, how poverty is disabling for individuals, communities, and the country and the world, for that matter. A lot of exciting information here. And Sarah's... Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Grace.
I'm not lying. She's here. So we're going to be talking about that and bridging the gap through different means of bridging the gap between poverty and prosperity. There is no bridging the gap right now, but this is where we are concentrating, or at least Sarah's concentrating on the Prosperity Project, which is addressing poverty and giving solutions with her project. Anyway, I'm going to start with announcements. I have four major announcements. The Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, September the 1st from 6 to 8 p.m., and this is in the Sentinel Hotel, catering by Jack's Grill on 11th Avenue, Portland, is having an event and having a couple of doctors coming over with the newest research and whatnot. If you want to join that, I might be over there myself. 1-800-532-7667. Again, multiple sclerosis, that's what I have, which is why I'm talking the way I have. Associated America, 1-800-532-7667. This one has passed, but I'm sure they have other events. Tualatin Riverkeepers to sponsor paddle trip for people with disabilities. They did this on August the 22nd. But I'm sure, again, they have other activities. So I'll give you their phone number, 503-218-2580. Again, 503-218-2580, Tualatin Riverkeepers. And then the other event coming up the release was August the 7th, but I'm pretty sure, again, They have a registration is open for September Family Caregivers Training. So if you are a caregiver of a disabled person, you are going to want to take this training. And I believe it is free. According to this, it's free. And it starts in September the... It doesn't have a date on here. So, but again, you can call them. Registration is open for September Family Caregiver Training Association. Wendy Gordon is the communications coordinator, and you can reach her at 503-846-3634. And it's a 5-week training. Call them if you want to be involved in that. And then FACT Oregon, Family of Community Together. It's a developmental disabilities is offering an Oregon Partner Policymaker PIP starting this fall. And this is actually a six-month stint. If you want to be a part of that, it's a leadership training for adults with developmental disabilities and parents of children with developmental disabilities. And it's called FACT Oregon. If you want to be a part of that, their session starts January, February, March, April, May, June. So you got a little time for this, and I'll probably announce this again. But if you want to be a part of this, I would sign. They said sign up early because they're going to fill up probably. 971-304-4191. Again, 971-304-4190. Okay, so those are exciting things coming up for people with disabilities and their families. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So, tell us what your prosperity project is and what the heck has it got to do with poverty or disability for that matter.
Right. Well, the prosperity project is focusing again on the solutions. Prosperity being looking at the whole scope of humanity and how do we achieve prosperity for everyone on the planet? Mm-hmm. The poverty that people are experiencing is debilitating, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And the prosperity that we're talking about, oftentimes people assume prosperity means having lots and lots of money. And really what we're talking about is that deeper prosperity, that true prosperity of the spirit, and that is available to all of us. We all have that ability within ourselves to pull that forward. And so looking at the money, we tend in this society to think in terms of, if I only had so much money, then all my problems would be solved, I'd be happy. And we pursue the money, not realizing that it's really the spirit with which we live our lives that brings that richness and that joy into our lives. So that's the reason why I focused on prosperity and that deeper sense of it.
And I appreciate this. I met Sarah because she interviewed me, and she'll be talking about me. I can't, but she will. So why? In a way, a hard sell about this sort of project is that it gives the impression that you are over there talking about prosperity and, you know, the spirit and all of that. And meanwhile, we have, and I want to actually talk about two sites that I just literally came up with, and I am working on with Sarah on poverty, prosperity, bridging the gap. But there's two huge organizations, and then Sarah's going to actually share stories. In other words, prove it, Sarah, right?
Right.
Prove that works, right? Yeah, right, that works. But I know for a fact that works. I am one of the poverty-stricken people, if you will. On a piece of paper, I look pathetic. I have very low income. I'm an elder. I'm in poverty. But there are two sites. Why Poverty? These are both on Facebook. And if you don't have a computer, please go to the library and check these sites out. Why Poverty is a global movement addressing why poverty. Why should we put up with it? Absolutely custom designed for KBOO folk because, you know, we're into let's solve this thing and let's do it in any way we can. Why Poverty actually addresses this. And then there's a talkpoverty.org. If you go to put it into a search engine, whatever, on a site, talkpoverty.org came up with an unbelievable, in 2013, poverty rates for people, and this was in 2013, and according to Why Poverty and the latest statistics on talk poverty, it's tripled. These statistics have tripled worldwide, not just in this country, but this country is really in bad shape. People with disability poverty rates in 2013, 28.4%, tripled. Children in poverty, 14.7 million, tripled. African-American child poverty rates, 38, almost 40%, probably 50%. It's literally getting to the point where it's 50% of our country is in poverty. And that it's back to Occupy. It's the Occupy situation, which is why I love bringing this kind of thing to the mic. American Indian Native American child poverty, 36%. 2012, that's tripled. Hispanic, 30%. White, 10%. Poverty rate among children of single parents, number of married people in poverty, etc. These statistics are proof that we need something to happen. So what needs to happen, Sarah?
Well, there's a lot that needs to happen. And one of the things that came before me was gathering the stories, finding stories of people who have either have a unique understanding of prosperity or who have experienced that transition from a poverty situation to a more prosperous richness in their lives. So this Prosperity Project is really a collection of stories, and stories from all different kinds of people, from all different kinds of backgrounds, different kinds of experiences. And as we gather these stories together, we start to see patterns emerge. Mm-hmm. Your story, Grace, was one of those. In fact, you grew up in poverty. You tell this story so well in your book, Negotiating Shadows, where you were dealing with addiction and alcoholism. You hit bottom. And at some point, you made a decision to turn that around. And this is the pattern that I'm seeing with so many people, is that at some point, there's a conscious decision. And you move from a victim mentality to, okay, I'm going to redeem this. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to get something out of this and make it more positive and more beautiful. There was one of the interviews that I'm working on right now is with a woman who was an athlete and a dancer and underwent major surgery on her back, and they told her she wouldn't be able to do much. So she was looking into things like wheelchair tennis, and, you know, it was really devastating because she moves. I mean, that's her whole life, is music and movement and dancing. And she decided to, no, I'm going to move. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do something with this.
Determination.
Mm-hmm. So now she's teaching movement classes to people with arthritis and is doing an amazing job with what life has handed to her.
I need her.
I have arthritis. Yeah.
We'll talk.
Definitely.
Thank you, Anne. And thank you for the interview. You did an interview, and it was really appreciated. And I have been, I was a child of poverty, mm-hmm, all my life. And this is, by the way, a handoff of the Great Depression, right, the 1920s. So the United States has been in poverty for a very long time. And I was just one of those kids that was raised on the wrong side of the tracks, as they used to say, in my part of the country, in the South. And I did turn a lot around, although I am still in poverty financially. So this is why this is an interesting, yeah. So,
exactly.
So you're on to something here for sure.
Right, right. I mean, we haven't found all of the solutions by a long shot, but a lot of this starts in the mind with that consciousness. There was another gentleman that I interviewed who took a trip to the Himalayas and met a woman named Tsering Dolma, who lives in a village up in at 14,000 feet. So you have to hike and hike and hike to get there. And she lives on maybe a dollar a day. I mean, in most standards, she would be considered in living in poverty. And she raises all of the food for herself, for her son, for her goats. And if you arrive at her house, then you get tea. If you stay long enough, you get lunch. If you're there and you need a place to stay, there you can, you know, sleep over here. And when Sharif was talking with her, he said, you know, you've got all of these hikers who come up the mountain and they're tired. They're, you know, at the end of their rope. He said, you could just charge $10 a day for people to stay over and, you know, you'd have some money. And she said, yes, but how would I accumulate merit? How would I show my compassion? And so this woman who has what we consider to be nothing is giving so much to the people around her. And so there's so much that we have to learn about what we are capable and what our spirit is. And so this is what we're exploring with the Prosperity Project.
Yeah, and something I know personally, and I work with a lot of, I have a lot of friends that are in my position, you know, elder, poverty. I don't even like the word poverty, but it is that. We are, and there's, you can't work enough jobs. My friend Kathy Carter, who she couldn't possibly work enough jobs to get stabilized, and that's a lot of what. And so it's very easy to fall into a state of despair.
Mm-hmm.
And despair will kill your spirit. And absolutely. When despair, and that's what I did not buy into. I will not play in that arena with despair. And I know there's a lot of people that are there. They have chosen not to play with despair. Of course, we get to be disappointed. We get to be discouraged. I get disappointed and discouraged all the time. But despair is mm-hmm. something I can't buy into, and I think it sounds like you're talking a little bit about that.
Yes, it's really true. I mean, we are given circumstances to deal with in life that are beyond our control. There are things that happen that we just don't have any control over. But what we do have control over is how we respond. There's another story of a young woman who she had 1 year left in her undergraduate degree in industrial design, and they raised the tuition from $281 a credit to $400 a credit, and she just couldn't do it. She was already stretched too thin at the current rate, and so she had 1 year left, and it was so devastating. And yet what she did was she realized that she could teach herself the rest of the things she needed to know. She lost her health at a young age, so she was in tremendous pain and had found wonderful remedies through the alternative healthcare practitioners. So she decided to take her skills and put them to work to market the services of the alternative healthcare practitioners so that more people knew about this mode of healing. So again, she had this really dire situation, and she made a decision and turned it around and actually turned it into a service to other people.
It's going to be, and I'm not assuming, I mean, we're looking at statistics, which are dire. It's like, oh my, we're talking dire.
Right.
And it's getting worse and worse. And of course, that's why the Occupy movement arose, and I'm still in Elders Occupy Caucus, which is we don't go to the parks and set tents up and stuff. If I set a tent up, you'd have to come pick me up off the ground, I suppose, but right. But I was part of, KBOO actually was part of the Occupy movement when it was in the parks over here. But so that is actually coming true, the 1%, the 99%. That's not just a theory, it's a fact. And so something, all sorts of things have to happen to encourage people to keep on keeping on. And it's very difficult not to get into despair. I just can't think of another word. Despair is a disability
mm-hmm.
unto itself.
Yes.
And when and I see the people in my building just alone that have chosen, I will say that, because I go up and talk to them all the time, and they, you know, why are you so happy? Well, I'm not happy, but I'm enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
Despair kills enthusiasm. It kills questioning. I question everything. It kills curiosity. It kills all the tools that one needs to do what you're talking about and suggesting that people do. More stories.
Yes. There was another story of a young man who, again, grew up in poverty, moved from place to place, and was involved in some activities that probably weren't the healthiest for him.
Been there.
Yes. And he started realizing that he had some natural abilities, natural talents, and he started developing those talents and putting them to use. And so he developed his writing skills and started putting those skills to work, and has since developed that into a service to the community, a job, a real stable job for himself, and a way to provide an income opportunity for people who are living in dire poverty as well. So one of the themes that keeps coming through is this sense of, I'm going to make this valuable to someone else. This sense of doing something for someone else, that service, if you will, that it takes us out of ourselves and out of our own situation, and taking that, whatever skills and talents you have, but also the circumstances that you've been given, and offer that in some form to other people in the community, either locally or in a larger scale. And that also helps to bring us out of that mm-hmm. kind of vortex that happens. It's almost like a downward spiral.
And it is absolutely a down. That's the point. It sucks you down. There's no getting up. There's
exactly.
no getting out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. No, this is why Poverty and Talk Poverty is talking about. There's no getting out of that kind of poverty.
That's right.
But there is a way of getting out of that poverty on another level. And the projects that come to mind up in North Portland, the churches that are working with poverty in their communities and housing issues and all of the practical things like that,
right.
That are stepping up on a daily basis, and communities coming together and supporting one another, and the gardening projects and all of that. It's almost like, you know, we're back in the Depression time, and we are mm-hmm. to a certain extent.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that we have to get... People were into the gardening thing and food exchange, and for instance, one of the things that happened to me, which demonstrates what you're talking about, is I live near Safeway, and I have food stamp help, or what they don't call them food stamp help anymore, but I have help with food mm-hmm. a little bit. And but it doesn't buy everything. I don't eat anything with eyelashes, so that cuts down on a lot of the expense. I don't
right.
eat beef and pork and any of that, so that cuts down on a tremendous amount of expense. It's healthier for me. But if you're looking at organic vegetables, if you're looking at even that, it's expensive.
It is.
And I can't go to Whole Foods, for instance, or any of those places and buy everything that I feel like I need. But my needs do get met, and mm-hmm. here's why. I do energy exchanges with people.
Yes.
And I have writing talents. My book has been published in Oxford, England, and so I'm Oxford published.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's a miracle unto itself. And so I was thinking about, well, it would be nice to have some fresh fruit and fresh vegetables and out of an organic gardener. Well, my friend Maura Fox, who has a big old truck garden and can't get rid of it fast enough, all during the summer and a little bit in the winter, she's a school teacher. She comes with bags and bags and bags of fruits and vegetables. And so she's not only feeding me, and I'm working with her on an art project for her kids at school. So my energy exchange is working with her on writing and art projects for her kids at school. And she's bringing me enormous amounts of food, which I get to share in the building.
Right.
So we leave a lot of stuff downstairs, and we feed a lot of people in that building.
Right.
I live at the St. Francis. And we feed a lot of people, and I've got fresh zucchini and fresh fruit and fresh peaches. And, I mean, wow. And that's how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, for me anyway. And I know that's how that can work. Now, if I had if I had nothing but despair, I guarantee you that would not happen, because I would not be reaching out.
Right. Right. And it's that reaching out and that connection. There's a story that I love about heaven and hell. And the guy who goes up has a choice. He can choose either heaven or hell. So he gets to view both of them. And in hell there's a banquet table, a huge banquet table, a beautiful meal, and everybody is very sad because they've got bands on their elbows and they can't feed themselves. And he goes to heaven, and it's the same scene. It's the huge banquet table with this lovely meal, and everybody is so happy because they're reaching over and feeding the next person. Mm. And that's part of it, is when we reach beyond ourselves and we reach out to feed that next person, we actually are feeding ourselves too.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, and it works. That's the point.
Yes.
Yeah, and in fact, I've been asked to do optimistic workshops or whatever for people who are in despair. And it's very difficult, especially as elders. It's very difficult to reach elders in despair. And a lot of people are turning to alcohol and drugs, too, for that matter.
Right.
That is a quick fix for despair and for feeling and the rage and the anger around this, you know.
Right.
So at that point, it definitely is a choice of allowing anger and rage and despair and the enthusiasm and the question killers. You know, I question everything.
Right.
And curiosity is part of this, as far as I know. And I have been able to go and just talk about, you might want to try this. And we work with poetry, and we work with writing, and we work with art and music and movement and, you know, all sorts of things. And I have to say, out of 50 people I had last year at the table, at the writing table over at it used to be called Elm Court, I think it still is, on Main Street, about 3 people chose to investigate their own truth or their own spirit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was hard. It was sad for me. And it's a hard sell. Because you're feeling, I mean, we're just under the gun.
Right, right. And it is when it's hardest to do these things, that's when we need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what are some of your suggestions on how to motivate people to get there? I want to say this first. I know you interviewed Israel Bearer from Street Roots.
That's true.
And he works with, and he's been at this mic too.
Right.
And I work very closely with the homeless situation and Street Roots and all of that. And he's such an incredible guy. I just love him so much.
He is.
And I love Street Roots and what they do. So there's, a good, solid, not just being erudite and talking about, we can't just talk about, ooh, poverty and prosperity, bridge the gap. We can't do that.
Right.
This is real.
Right.
So how do people reach you?
You can reach me on my website. It's lumalogica.com, LumaLogica.com. And all the stories are there posted on that website. And there are more coming.
You just started this project, which is where I found you. And what are your categories so far?
We're starting to see patterns emerge. So stories around the oneness of humanity, that we are all one human family, stories around justice, stories around what's emerging now is this idea of service and reaching beyond oneself. As more stories are gathered, then we're going to see more themes come out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's an incredible project, and I really appreciate you, Sarah. And thanks for interviewing me, and I have an opportunity now to expose a very important project to you, because I just see you as an anti-despair Joan of Arc type. You will not have despair. So again, how do people reach you?
The website again is lumalogica.com, LumaLogica.com.
Thank you so much for being my guest. I really appreciate it. And again, people, why poverty? I think the two best sites right now for what we're talking about is Sarah's site, lumalogical.com, lumalogica.com, why poverty, and talkpoverty.org. Why poverty is a separate treatment of what we're talking about, a very important brand new site, actually. Went global very quickly because it had to. And there is a documentary and Oregon Public Broadcasting did on this. And then talkpoverty.org. Please don't go into despair. Join us, enthusiastic, question everything. We will not sink into your despair, occupy 91%. You're done already. We will prevail. Thank you.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of the 4th Portland Renters Assembly and their March for Housing Rights. The assembly is on August 26th at the Midland Library from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. There will be speakers on the housing crisis and community organizing, personal stories, large and small group discussion about political strategy, but also defending and otherwise supporting each other. Snacks and childcare will be provided. The march is on August 28th. It starts at City Hall at 6 p.m. with a rally and ends at the Multnomah County Building with another assembly. The theme will be Housing Rights for All and will encompass everything from homelessness to affordable housing to tenants' rights to at-cost public housing. More information can be found at kboo.fm under Community Events or portlandrentersassembly.info.